watch the numbers drop in a world that's so flawed. Say goodbye and bygones. You would be my last thought. You would be my last thought. What once was.
You are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. It is 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. In the state of Minnesota, there is world-class fishing, abundant wildlife, state parks, thousands of miles of trails, and both land and water. For most of us, the outdoors add to our quality of life in Minnesota. The outdoors also bring in tourists, and that's a boost to the state's economy. Funding, especially the primary fund that pays for the DNR Fish and Wildlife Management, is in decline, and joining me in the studio is the Minnesota DNR Commissioner Tom Landwehr, also fishing guide Tom Newstrom. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having us, Heidi.
Absolutely.
So let's start with just the basics of the funding. What's the problem right now? What's going on?
Well, and right now, the reason I'm here today, Heidi, is because in the legislative process, this is kind of an important time. Bills are passing off floors. They're going to go to conference committee in a couple of weeks. Most of DNR's budget comes from fees, and that's especially true in the Division of Fish and Wildlife and the Division of Parks and Trails. And so those things that we like to do outdoors, hunting, fishing, camping, snowmobiling, those are all supported by the fees that people pay for their fishing licenses, their hunting licenses, their camping fees, and so on. And about every 6 years, we have to look at increasing those fees just to catch up with inflation. We try to keep those fees low, but we'll make, say, a 15% increase in the cost of a fishing license, and then over a period of 5 or 6 years, at 2 or 3% inflation a year, it just eats that increase up, and then we have to come back. So we get onto a cycle about every 6 years or so trying to increase the fees just to keep up with the cost of inflation. And that's where we're at right now. We're looking at significant budget problems in a year or two, depending on whether it's a park or whether it's a hunting and fishing. And since we can't deficit spend, as we start getting into those budget problems, then we have to start cutting back. And without the fee increases, we're looking at some pretty drastic reductions in both parks and in fish and wildlife.
Yeah, I was going to ask what that means. What do the budget cuts mean to what the DNR is doing?
So the money that we're asking for would really just kind of keep us where we're at. We're not talking about trying to expand anything. But without that funding, in the case of state parks, for instance, we might have to look at reducing camping or eliminating camping from as many as 34 state parks. That's almost half of all of our state parks. In the case of fishing, for instance, you know, we stocked more than 1,000 lakes. We might have to reduce the stocking on, say, 200 of those lakes. And in the case of hunting, you know, we've got some major wildlife areas that have roads running through them. And without the funds to maintain those roads, we may have to close those roads and kind of restrict access on some of those. So a lot of sort of the fundamental things that we do biologically to maintain good hunting and fishing is essentially on the chopping block without those fees.
That's DNR Commissioner Tom Landwehr. He's joining us in the KEXE studio, also fishing guide Tom Newstrom. So for those who don't know, what are the costs of fishing and hunting license right now?
And Tom may pitch in on this, but I think they're frankly a bargain. Right now, a fishing license is $22. We're proposing to increase it to $25, so a $3 increase. A deer hunting license is $30. We're proposing to increase that by $4 to $34. So, you know, in both cases, still, you know, less than, and, you know, a night at the movies with your family, and you know, especially in this is something Tom can speak to. When you think of a fishing license, it's good for 365 days of the year. It's good in the entire state of Minnesota. It's good for any number of species, and it, you know, by comparison to many other states, it's just a bargain.
Yeah, you're talking a scoop of minnows, $3. You know, not even a burger at McDonald's. I mean, and that, you know, that's what is so frustrating to me, because of what we have to offer the public, be it people from out of state or even in state. You know, the people in Minnesota should be proud of what, you know, what we have available. Al Linder, who is probably one of the best known anglers, one of the best known in the country, he and I talk about this quite often, and he said there is no state that he ever goes to that has the quality of fishing that we have, but it comes at a cost. And, you know, for people who are listening, if you own a business, You can't tell me that your cost is the same as it was 20 years ago to do business. You know, it, and I know as a guide, I have to raise my fees every 5 years or so just to keep up, you know, with the cost of doing business. It's no different for the DNR. And if they have to provide services to keep the parks open, the lake stock would fish. How about game wardens? We're down 23 positions in the state right now. And, you know, if we have to fill those positions, we have to have the funding to have it. And you know, I think these are things that the public sometimes doesn't understand, you know, and they read a little bit here or they hear rumors at the coffee shop. But this is truth. You know, people, this is really the truth. And, you know, as a professional guide and a person that depends on, you know, catching fish for my customers, having them have a quality time in Minnesota, it's so important for us to look at this fee increase as something that we really need.
So what does it mean for you as a guide if there is less stocking, if, you know, if the increases don't pass, less stocking and less game wardens? How does that affect your business?
Well, the game warden part of it is we need them. I mean, they're the police officers of the woods and lakes. And but as far as stocking goes, you know, if we don't have quality fishing in the places that we go, people are going to go elsewhere because they want, you know, they want that quality experience. So, you know, will they go to Canada? Probably. Will they go to maybe the Dakotas or, you know, another state? Yeah, they probably will. But I think that's the value of what we have in Minnesota. You know, when you have the greatest opportunity for an outdoor experience of any state in the country, you know, this is something that we have to maintain. If it costs a couple bucks out of your pocket, tell you what, it's valuable. It's a very, very valuable contribution.
How does Minnesota stand up against costs of fishing license in other states?
Especially in our surrounding states, Heidi, we're pretty much right smack in the middle of the pack. You know, we don't charge too much, we don't charge too little, and even with the increase, we would still be right smack dab in the middle of the pack. And that's true for the hunting and fishing license, both. I think with respect to the parks admission, we're actually on the low end of costs, and so still very much a bargain. And that, frankly, is one of our goals. We want to make sure that all of these sports, all these recreational activities are available to as many people as possible. So we want to keep those prices low.
So what? How do you think it's going to play out? Do you think there's a good chance for these fee increases?
Well, right now, in both the House and the Senate, the proposals that are moving forward do not have hunting and fishing fee increases. The House version does have a slight increase for the Parks and Trails Division, but not for the not to the level we are asking. If they pass off the floor this week, they go into recess next week, then the following week they'll probably come to a conference committee. And in a conference committee, some of these things come back to life. But right now, there is no funding in there for hunting and fishing in particular, and game wardens, as Tom mentioned. So we have made the case to the legislative committees. You know, we've gone into the testimony. We've had some of the advocates come out there. For instance, the hunting and fishing community has put together a letter with 48 groups signing on saying they support it. So the legislators have heard from the agency. They've heard from the groups that these are supported. These are needed fees. What they really need now is to hear from the people back home. They need to hear from the people that live in Grand Rapids. They need to hear from the people in Warba. They need to hear from the people in their district that this is important to them to maintain those quality outdoor recreational experiences.
Are the fishing guides talking to their legislators, Tom?
Oh, yeah. And, and that's another thing that why I wanted to come here, too, to have everybody that has a stake in this, you know, whether you're a resort owner, whether you're a fishing guide, whether you're just an angler, or, you know, a hunter or angler, you need to get a hold of your legislator. And I think at times people say, well, you need to do it, and everybody goes, yeah, I'll do it. But, you know, you've got to take the time to either call or email, and usually email is a better way to do it because calling, they get so busy and it's hard for them to return a call. But just email them, you know, and their addresses are available online so you can get them. But just take the time, take 5 minutes out of your life and do it, because if you don't, then, you know, don't sit in the coffee shop and complain about something that we don't have in the next 5 to 10 or 15 years, because, you know, this is your chance to make a difference. And that's all I'm asking, you know, as a guide and a user of the natural resources. I just want you to make sure you take the time to do that.
Did you grow up in Minnesota, Tom?
No, I grew up in Chicago.
Okay.
I remember somebody told me I'll never be a local, but I've been here. I've been here 37 years, so I've been here quite a while. But the quality of life here is what attracted me, and I know a lot of other people that move here from big cities and stuff. You know, there's no place in the country like Minnesota. We just have so much to offer, and the people are wonderful too.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Chicago, Tom. I was in Marshall yesterday doing the same thing down in Marshall with the local Chamber of Commerce. And they talk about, for pheasant hunting, we pull in people from Wisconsin and even from Chicago to go pheasant hunting in southwest Minnesota. And so you think of the resources we've got here and how attractive that is for not just the residents, but for the non-residents, for the tourism industry. And it really is an economic driver in many parts of the state. I know in southwest Minnesota, when I'm down there pheasant hunting, you know, the restaurants are full, the hotels are full in October, November, and if it were not for hunting, they'd be empty, you know, and you could say much of the same thing for ice fishing up here. You know, if it was not for that quality ice fishing we have on Winnie and Cass and Lake of the Woods and Red Lake, a lot of these hotels would be empty, but right now you can't get a room on most weekends.
I wish, you know, here's the other thing too, Heidi, I wish people in Minnesota could come up here and sit on Highway 2 and 169 by Central School and just sit there and count the vehicles going by. You know, go to the bait shops on Highway 2 going west, and every one of them has a full parking lot. It's because of the quality of fishing. Sure, it's tradition to come here for the opener, but there's nothing like it. I mean, it's pandemonium to a thing, but, you know, it's excitement. And everybody that comes in a bait shop, because I actually dip minnows at Ben's Bait on opening the day before opener, and the excitement that they have in their face and just to get out and go fishing, there's nothing like it. I mean, I grew up, but we had a cabin in Wisconsin, and we never had the opener like in Wisconsin like we do here. These people are passionate about what they do, and they love the fishing and hunting in their state. And I think that, you know, it's time, you know, it's time for everybody to, like we always say, belly up to the bar, you know, just, you know, take a couple bucks out of your pocket and think about it.
So I don't know if there's a way to measure, because what we're talking about is, you know, fishing license, hunting license, also park fees, mm-hmm. you know, things that go into, you know, getting a pass to cross country ski or to use trails. Do you know how much economic impact that these kinds of things have on Minnesota?
There's a few measures out there. So for instance, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service every 10 years does a survey of hunting, fishing, and wildlife related recreation, they call it. And so for instance, in Minnesota, the overall economic impact, $2.4 billion just from fishing. Overall economic impact just from hunting, $740 million. About $500 million of that is deer hunting. So, you know, that's just direct expenditures. That's me going out and buying my rifle and my bullets and my gas and my beer and my lunch for deer hunting. That's, you know, the same thing for fishing. And when you think about the multiplier effect, you know, so Tom's dipping minnows at the bait store. After he takes his $5 from dipping minnows, he goes over to the Wendy's and buys a burger. You know, that kind of economic activity just rotates and rotates, circulates through the economy. So just direct impact is huge. In the case of camping, we know that every person that stays at a state park for one day spends $24 in the local community. So every, you know, we had 10 million visitors to state parks last year. I think we had some 300,000 overnight stays. You multiply that by $25, all of a sudden you've got some, you know, real economic activity going on.
That's DNR Commissioner Tom Landry. He's here with Tom Newstrom. He's a fishing guide in the Grand Rapids area. Tom, do people complain to you about the cost of fishing license?
No. And, you know, the interesting thing, too, Heidi, is I've surveyed not only my customers, but a lot of people. I go to a lot of sports shows during the winter. That's kind of I'm kind of a gypsy traveler doing seminars and stuff. And I've talked to a lot of people, big groups all over the state. I had a seminar down in Hutchinson 3 weeks ago. I had 250 people there, and we talked about the license fee increase. And there wasn't one person in there. They said, why are we going through this? And they all, you know, and they, my response to them is, because we need the money. And then why is it such a hard thing to, I said, because that's the way the process is. And, you know, just to understand that, you know, we need to have better service. So the cost goes, you know, the cost goes up just slightly. And to provide those services and the fish that we need that swim in a lake for people to catch, you know, I don't want to see a decline in that. I don't want to see a decline in surveys, which surveys on the lakes are very important, so the DNR knows what lakes to stock and how many fish to put in there. So, you know, the loss of this revenue will be huge. And it's a tumbling effect. It's not just one thing. It's so many things that are tied into a $3 or $4 increase. I can't even believe that I'm sitting here talking with the commissioner about this, and we have talked about this several times, but, you know, for people listening, I hope you understand that this is a very a very important issue.
So for fishing licenses, again, we're talking about a $3 increase per person. Mm-hmm. And I suppose this does, like Tom said, it does trickle down to other things that the DNR are involved in that make, you know, your job better. And that might include how we handle aquatic invasive species or how all those kind of things happen. Is that, would you say that's a fair thing to say?
To some extent, Heidi, the budgets are all separate. You know, one of the, part of the challenge for this fee increase that Tom alludes to is that, you know, the fees can only be increased by changing the law. So the legislators have to do that. The laws dictate how much the fees are. They dictate what we can spend it on. So when you buy a fishing license, you are confident that those dollars are going into fisheries management. And so we have to go to the legislature. And the legislature, you know, is just genetically adverse to raising fees because they don't want to hear some opponent in the next election saying, well, you raise the license fees. And so they're resistant to it. You know, we're resistant to it because, we don't want to price people out. But we have to go through that process. And the unfortunate thing is, in the case of fish and wildlife, in the absence of doing all of the activities that Tom mentioned, you may not see an impact for 3 or 4 or 5 years. You know, if we stock a lake that doesn't actually have walleyes in it, we stock that lake and we stop stocking. Well, 3, 4, and 5 years down the road, you might still catch a walleye till those walleyes are gone, and then they're gone, and you're not going to catch a walleye. And then people will raise up in arms and say, "Well, you got to restock this lake, go in and stock it." Well, now it's going to be 3, 4, and 5 years before you catch another walleye. So the negative impacts don't land for some while in the case of hunting and fishing. In the case of parks, our new budget year starts on July 1. If we don't get the funds we need to maintain the park system this session, that means on July 1 we start seeing some closures and some restricted activities. So those impacts are much more imminent.
We did have a caller who asked about the status of Hill Annex Mine State Park. I don't know if you know.
Well, so Hill Annex Mine State Park is one that we're looking to work with local units of government to allow them to do the management of it. It's one of those parks in our park system that we're trying to find a partner to help manage it because, again, our budgets are so constrained, our priorities are so not being met, that we're looking for ways that we can augment our efforts on maintaining some of the parks we've got out there.
Well, you mentioned, Tom, you mentioned the opening fishing and how what a big deal it is around here. I know when I sometimes get calls from out of state and people ask me if there's traffic, you know, living in a rural area, I'm like, well, sure, opening hunting and opening fishing, and they think that's hilarious that's the time where people are coming north. But I wonder if we can get a little personal now. Commissioner, where will you be on opening fishing?
Well, of course, I will be with the governor on the governor's opener, and as you know, that rotates around the state.
Yeah.
It was here in 2011. In fact, Tom was the guide for the governor at the time, and this year it is in St. Cloud, so we will be on the Mississippi River in St. Cloud on Saturday of the governor's fishing opener.
Well, here we sit on the banks of the Mississippi River. I think that's a really cool thing because I feel like people pay a lot more attention to lakes, which are great, mm-hmm. than rivers in Minnesota. And we have some spectacular rivers as well.
And the Mississippi there. In particular is a totally underappreciated fisheries. And in that neck of the woods, I'm familiar with that stretch between St. Cloud and Camp Ripley. Tremendous smallmouth bass fishing, very, very good walleye fishing, and muskies as well. It really is an underappreciated resource.
Will you admit where you'll be? Is that a secret as a fishing guide?
I don't like to say, I usually go to Leech Lake on opener. That's
okay.
Pretty standard, but it depends, you know. It's kind of one of those things. A lot of stuff up here is tradition.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go to the same lakes every year. I mean, they just do it. And it's a great time to the camaraderie with people, you know, their families and friends and stuff like that. But I think, you know, again, I wish the public could come up in our area and just observe, stand on the corner and watch the vehicles go by and the people and the excitement. And you know, like Tom said, it's not just the bait shops. It's not just the lakes. It's the stores. It's the everybody is gaining something from this. And the anglers are gaining the great experience of enjoying some of the best fishing in the country. And I think that's the total deal here. And I think I was really happy that I was invited to come here because I want people to understand what we have and what we have to offer, and we just need to make sure that it's maintained.
Again, we're talking about fee increases. Now, as you said, Commissioner, the legislature will go on a brief break.
Easter break. Mm-hmm.
The recommendation is that you contact your legislator, let them know what you think about these fee increases, and then that language can hopefully be added to some of the bills going on in terms of the DNR.
Exactly. I'd say we're in the middle of the process, even though we're two-thirds of the way done with the session. A lot of the initial hearings are done now, and now the bills are going to pass, and now they go into these conference committees where the negotiation really starts. And so that's really imperative that those funds be provided coming out of those conference committees, because once that's done, it's too late. And so this next 2 weeks is really kind of an urgent time.
Anything we might have missed that you want to add?
You know, one thing, Heidi, people sometimes say, well, what about the legacy amendment? What about that ballot initiative we had in 2008? And why isn't that money helping you out? And you know, Minnesota is just extraordinarily fortunate that we passed that in 2008. And that was actually like a 10-year effort. And Senator Bob Lassard initiated that back in the mid-90s. The whole intention of that legacy amendment was to make additional dollars available for conservation. And so the constitutional language specifically says this money should supplement traditional sources of funding, not substitute for it. So we can't use that to do the sort of day-to-day things that we've done in the past. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to do additional things with it. And so it does provide a lot of additional resources to do habitat management, to do lakeshore protection and things like that. But it can't pay for our fishery surveys. It can't pay for our sanitation building cleaning. It can only be used for those additional things, and it really means we have more going on in Minnesota than we would in many other states where they don't have that, and more than we had going on in Minnesota prior to that amendment.
That is DNR Commissioner Tom Landwehr. He has been in the studio with us along with fishing guide Tom Newstrom. If you want more information on the budgets and what's going on with the DNR, check out their website. Lots of information there, dnr.state.mn.us, or you can call us for more information, 800-662-5799. It is the Wednesday Morning Show. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi. Pleasure.